can never become a great artist if you don't start by facing your fears. In fact, fear may be the greatest killer of creativity and the biggest reason young artists simply give up. The great American choreographer Twyla Tharp tells audiences, no one starts a creative endeavor without a certain amount of fear. It doesn't matter that she has choreographed over 160 works, that she's won Tony Awards, Emmy Awards, and countless other honors, fear still shows up at the door during the creative process. It doesn't matter if it is fear of the critics, fear Christian maybe of a fear of what the church will think, or fear that our finished work simply may not measure up to what we hoped. Fear is present. Thus, we try to keep fear at bay by avoiding making mistakes. But what if the very act of avoiding mistakes was the real problem? This can be true also in your spiritual life. You see, the longer you're a Christian and the more seriously you examine your heart, the more you become aware of how impure your motives can be. Then, in the interest of fixing our hearts and getting better, we begin to focus more on the mistakes we are making and the sins we are committing rather than on living the life of freedom God called us to live. This can be especially true of people in churches that are more legalistic because the focus shifts from living boldly to living carefully. And we exchange the freedom Christ died to give us for an anxiety over our sins. Sometimes this shifting of focus happens in subtle ways and sometimes in rather severe ways. But in both instances, the boldness of faith is swallowed up in the fear of sinning and the anxiety over a lack of perfection. The reality is this: fear is universal. Every human has fears, and we all must learn to deal with them. It doesn't matter if you're simply afraid your artwork won't be good enough for the critics, or whether you're worried that your spiritual life won't be good enough to earn God's favor. Being afraid strangles your creativity and your spiritual fervor. This fear is like a cancer that infects your creative inspiration and your spiritual inspiration. So let's look at how this is addressed in Scripture. Consider this. Christ didn't call the perfect to model perfection, or the mostly perfect to fake it. Christ called men and women to be real, to stop covering up their mistakes and start listening to the words of grace and forgiveness. God wants us to realize that God loves to use the weak, the broken, and the imperfect. Just look at his disciples. Peter was a man who proclaimed his love for Christ with passion. He promised to stay with him until the end and never falter. But in Luke 22, Christ described how Peter would falter. He said, "You will deny me 3 times. Peter protested greatly, but in fact, Christ was right. Peter screwed up massively. Did Jesus kick him to the curb for his lack of faith? Absolutely not. Jesus restored him and used him powerfully. Think also about Thomas, who wouldn't believe anyone that Christ had risen from the dead until he himself touched and felt the wounds of Christ's body to see and touch the pierced hands and side. Did Jesus ostracize Thomas for such a skeptical mindset? No. He bid him come, touch my wounds if that is what you need. Christ picked the broken, the overzealous, and those who doubt, and those who have fears. Another great example of this is someone who lived over 500 years ago, Martin Luther. Luther had worked very hard to become perfect and right before God. Living as a monk, he was fasting, he was praying, he was following all these rituals he could in order to earn spiritual perfection. Even the other monks became jealous. But the problem was that even as he worked hard to become better, he realized he became prideful in how much better he was than the other monks. He had simply traded one sin for another. And then as he read the book of Galatians in the Bible, he realized the whole point of Christ dying on the cross was to bestow grace upon us. We don't have to worry about our mistakes anymore. Christ already paid the price to restore our spirits, even from the biggest mistakes. Rituals don't save us. Money can't save us. And you cannot be good enough to earn salvation. Simply put, the path to freedom lies in the acknowledging that you make mistakes, not covering them up. Here's a quote from a letter written by Martin Luther to his friend Melanchthon. Begin quote. If grace is true, you must bear a true and not a fictitious sin. God does not save people who are only fictitious sinners. Be a sinner and sin boldly, but believe and rejoice in Christ even more boldly, for he is victorious over sin, death, and the world. As long as we are here, we have to sin. This life is not the dwelling place of righteousness, but, as Peter says, we look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. End quote. Luther is saying here, stop worrying about whether you will make a mistake or not, whether you will sin or not. Of course you will. For the rest of your life, you will make mistakes and commit sins. So stop worrying about it and stop living in fear of mistakes. Start living boldly. Now, to be clear, this is not a boldness that is selfish or egocentric. It is a boldness that says, I am forgiven and completely free to have a fresh start each and every time. This person seeks to honor Christ, but doesn't live in fear that Christ will zap them at any moment or be gravely disappointed in them at any point where they misstep or slip up. The concept of sin boldly represents a pivotal transformation in the theology of Martin Luther. He went from focusing on how he could earn God's favor and started just enjoying the favor that was already given to him. If Christ really died to forgive and pay for all your sins, there's no good reason to worry about your guilt, your shame, or your fear that arise when you screw things up. It didn't stop God from loving Peter or Thomas or Martin Luther, and it won't stop him from loving you. But what does this have to do with art and creativity? In their book, Art and Fear, David Bayless and Ted Orland tell of an unusual ceramics teacher. This ceramics teacher announced on the first day of the class, she was dividing the class into two groups. Group A would be judged solely upon the volume of work, how many pieces you create over the semester. We will simply place them all on a scale and grade you on volume. Group B, on the other hand, would be judged on quality. They would only be required to produce one piece, and they would be given the whole semester to finish it. However, their entire grade was to be given based upon the excellence of this single finished piece at the end of the semester. The result of the semester's experiment surprised many. The highest quality, most amazing ceramic art came from Group A, where they were judged upon sheer volume, not quality. The students in Group B, who focused only on the one piece for the whole semester, found themselves creating inferior work. But the real question is why? Why did the students most focused on quality fail? The reason is this. Students in Group B ended up spending days and even weeks theorizing about what is perfection when working with ceramics and what shapes and styles and colors would result in the finest work, and so on. And they had anxiety about, what if this one piece wasn't good enough? Can they succeed? In contrast, the students in Group A learned over and over by simply creating without expectation. Without the fear of making mistakes or being criticized for their mistakes, they were free to focus on experimenting, trying new and bold concepts, and quickly learning about this medium over and over. You see, they failed, but with almost no cost. They learned what did and didn't work and then just tried again. This fueled their creativity and their enjoyment of the process and resulted in the best artwork. The lesson is this: obsessing on being perfect or creating something perfect often leads to failure. The great photographer Ansel Adams put it this way: the perfect is the enemy of the good. It doesn't matter if you are in the ceramics class playing with a few dollars of material or leading a film company worth billions. Freedom to fail is essential to success. Pixar is built on the same mindset. Andrew Stanton tells his people at Pixar, fail early and fail often. And other times he just says, be wrong as fast as you can. Now, of course, they're working hard to make an excellent product, but they're under no illusion that it will happen without countless failures, miscalculations, and mistakes. Pixar creates amazing box office hits because they give people not only inspiration, but also they give each other the freedom to fail without being mocked or fired. They have effectively built a culture that fosters creative freedom. So, if Martin Luther tells his friends to sin boldly without having fear, here we see an executive, Andrew Stanton, telling his creatives to create boldly without fear. The principle is the same. Now let's return to the ceramics class. Imagine if you were in ceramics class Group A for every part of your life, that your personal, your spiritual, creative mistakes, none of them are recorded and retained, that you're not judged each time and each day you make a mistake. God wants you to live a great life and create amazing art and mesmerizing music and jaw-dropping films. But in order for you to do that, God's going to offer you grace every step of the way. Even when we screw up big, God forgives us and wants us to try again. Think of a dad who brushes the dirt off his daughter's knee during a soccer game and says, now, my daughter, get out there, shoot the ball again, and give it your best shot. He's not lecturing her on what she messed up. He's just encouraging her. what if we live daily in this way and we could hear God saying to us, fail early and fail often, just keep trying? This is what it means to live boldly, or as Luther put it, to sin boldly. You see, it's not about sinning more and taking advantage of God's grace. It is about pursuing God and refusing to let the fear of sinning enslave you. Let me say that again so it sinks in deeper. It's not about sinning more and taking advantage of God's grace. It's about pursuing God and refusing to let the fear of sinning or making mistakes enslave you. Christ did not die for you to live in fear or to be timid. He died for you to possess a boldness that comes from life in Him. To know Christ is to know this freedom. Whether you experience this freedom and creativity in your business, in your marriage, or in your relationships, your greatest experience of joy and of creativity will come when you live fully knowing the freedom Christ died to give you. Then you will create boldly, you will live boldly, or, as Martin Luther said, sin boldly.